but we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning here on June 8th, folks. Want to do a tip of the cap here before I get going too far in the end of the show. I don't know if you noticed, man, our technology here is getting so much better. And I want to, again, tip my cap to Jared, who's running this thing behind the scenes. This new, I look clear on my, I don't know how you guys are seeing it, but my own picture here, I'm looking clearer than I've ever seen. And, you know, we jumped onto a new platform. It's Google. It's still Google, whatever, Hangouts, but it's an improved version of it. And Jared moved us over to that thing and we've expanded it to now where we can get, we believe, up to 30 people. We've got 13 who are logged in here right now. And the record for us has been like 22. We'd love to try to get 30 in here just to see, in fact, if the system's going to carry it. But I like the look. Maybe part of it is, I said to Jared, maybe this new background, this new field is a little bit more, what would be the word? Descript. In other words, it gives us a better contrast. That other field that we were using, it had a bunch of gray in it. This one, I think, really makes us jump out. So again, Jared, I know, man, that you're wading through some deep water trying to figure out how this whole thing works. And I just a guy saying I appreciate it. It's starting to look a lot better. Not that it looked bad before. Hey, listen, don't forget our boot camp, spiritual boot camp. It's a week from today, isn't it? Is it 2 weeks from today? What is today? Help me out, Sarge. It's 2 weeks from today, isn't it? Yeah, it's 2 weeks. Well, actually, 2 weeks from tomorrow. No. Tomorrow's the 9th. No, it's next week.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Get my brain working here, Sarge. I'm sorry, man. A week from tomorrow. And I know a lot of you out there are last-minute kind of folk, and that's okay, but to be honest with you, we're filling up pretty good. We're gonna have a good group of people. Somebody's asked me, can women come? I said, yes, because we do have a facility now that women can sleep in. Hey, listen, this ain't the Ritz, man. It ain't the Ritz. But it's a place where we're going to be able to gather. We're going to stay out of the rain if that would happen to come. We're going to be able to do some good teaching, some good fellowship. One of the things that I appreciate most about our boot camps is the camaraderie that develops as a result of guys coming together and meeting like-minded people. And I know there are a lot of you out there. Hey, Lindell's coming all the way from South America. There are a lot of people out there who come and watch the show daily who are really still all by themselves. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with George this last weekend. He and I did some ministry work down in Virginia. And man, you know, we're same spirit. In Georgia, same spirit. Get together, find that. I bet you want to get together with, well, I know, Sarge. I see Sarge over the internet. We get together, man. We're the same spirit. Jim Kraft, Jim, we're the same spirit. I mean, this, not the rest of you aren't. But I would encourage you folks out there who are a little bit curious or wondering whether or not you should come. Well, the friendships that you're going to make are going to be really, really important, really advantageous to you. So I'd encourage you come and join us. We're going to have a boot camp on Friday night, do a little bit of ministry on Saturday, and wind it all up Sunday morning. So no matter where you're coming from, you could be back to work on Monday if you needed to, or take a day off and recover. So welcome to Pass Salt. Man, it got cold around here. I don't know what you guys are dealing with. Global cooling is going on here in Ohio. I played in my golf league last night. I had to wear a long sleeve shirt and a jacket. June 7th, whatever it was. Crazy stuff going on. You know, deep inside, there's a part of me that always wants to talk about politics. I'm kind of a political animal, but I don't like to talk about politics. I like to talk about politics and the spiritual aspect of politics. You know, I jokingly say when you turn on Rush Limbaugh or you turn on Hannity or O'Reilly or whoever your particular commentator of choice is, understand that they're nothing but play-by-play announcers, most of them. I'll give you, for instance, take Sean Hannity. I don't know how many listen to Sean, but what? Let's say that's 10 million. You have 10 million people that listen to Sean, or maybe even more than that, who at least know who he is. Can somebody tell me one action, activity, movement that Sean Hannity has ever driven his people to do? Has he ever gone on his radio program and said, okay, listen, Here's what we're going to do. All 6 million of you out there, we are going to do this. Everybody, we're going to call here. We're going to do, anybody know Rush Limbaugh? Rush says he has like 20 million people. You ever known Rush get organized, get that 20 million people organized to do anything? Or does he just sit behind the scenes and do play-by-play? Over here, there's Nancy Pelosi over here in the corner, balls over Nancy's court. Oh, there, she passed it over to Harry Reid. Harry's kicking it out there to John Roberts in the Supreme Court. And John Roberts, why, look at that, John Roberts. He just saw a hook shot and missed it, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's tapped it in. That's what Rush Limbaugh does. He gives us the game plan. And I guess it's good that they're there, but really what they are is nothing more than pressure valves. Rush Limbaugh's job is not to change anything. Rush Limbaugh's job is to convince you he's in control, we're all right. Democrats are bad, Republicans are good. Hang in there, we'll be okay. The only thing that's bothering us, Rush would tell us, is we just got us some bad Republicans. If we could get us some good Republicans, everything would be okay. So hang in there and drain the swamp. And when in fact, all the power, folks, rests with we the people. We are the ones that have the power and the authority to be able to change things. But we won't do it. For whatever reason, we're not organized. Think about the Southern Baptist Convention. What could the Southern Baptist Convention do? I don't know how many churches there are, but I'm sure there's a lot of them. What could they do if they've got behind something? We saw what happened with Target, with 2 million signatures or however many. It was just the American Family Association, just one organization. And I guess it's like this. We want to win without fighting. We want to fix the car without getting any grease on our fingers, you know? I don't think that works. I don't. So the fact that the politics is kind of in, I like doing politics, or it's in my blood, is because politics, you cannot separate it from religion. You cannot separate religion from politics. And the pastors who say, well, I am not going to use the pulpit for religious reasons, or I'm sorry, political reasons. I'm not going to politicize the pulpit. Hey, dude, you're full of crap. The pulpit is the place to talk about political issues. That is the place. Because political issues are moral issues. All political issues are legislating somebody's form of morality. That's all it does. Remember they lied to us and told us you can't legislate morality? That's a lie. They can legislate it. Or they can legislate immorality. So our side loses because we have no dog in the hunt. We have no horse in the race. And that's what we try to do here at Pass the Salt, is try to get you actively involved. So here's what I see going on. Last night, Trump was vindicated when James Comey released his his paper explaining what he's going to testify about today. And he said there was no investigation of Trump. And no, despite what CNN and all those liars have said, there's never been an investigation of Trump and the Russians. Never has been one. We heard those three guys from the alphabet agencies yesterday say that nobody ever pressured him to do anything. So from my standpoint, and game's over. It's over. Now they're going to play it all out and they're going to drag it all out. But we're just beginning to see. I used this illustration before I came on the air. It's like this as a football coach. Some of you can out there can relate to this. You're getting ready to play a game on Friday night, and you build your entire offense around your best player, whether it be your tailback, your quarterback, whoever it would be. And you know that you're going to beat this opponent on Friday because you got a perfect game plan. And on the opening kickoff, your tailback, or the guy that you've built the offense around, gets hurt. He can't play anymore. And now you go back and say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? We worked all week on this, and he isn't even in the game. That's what happened in the last election. Their candidate broke a leg. And so they thought they were going to be in power. They were going to have the FBI. They were going to have the CIA and NSA. They're going to have all those guys under control of their guy, Hillary. And then when Hillary came up limp and Trump gets in there, now the left is going, oh, my goodness. So we've seen them over the last, 6 months, just scream and holler. That's all they've done is scream and holler and pout and say it's not fair. Hillary broke her leg. We didn't think she was going to break her leg. That's not fair. So we're finding out right now whether or not Trump is one of the good guys or whether he's a plant for one of the bad guys. And from my perspective, he's doing some pretty good stuff. I said to the guys before we came on the air, by the way, we've got 17 people in here. We've got room for 13 more. Come on, jump in. The water's fine. Trump's first time in about 10 years that they haven't acknowledged Homo Month, Homo Celebration. This is Gay Pride Week. great gay pride here in Columbus, Ohio. The White House has not acknowledged gay pride, hasn't acknowledged it. And I believe that Donald Trump is evolving. And here's what's making him evolve, among other things. I think he's a vengeful guy. I think he holds grudges. And I think now that he's in the office and he sees where the pressure is coming from and he sees, still doesn't know maybe who his friends are, but he certainly sees who his enemies are. He's got that one figured out. And he likes to get even. And that's what I think we see going on. And as this evolution continues in Donald Trump, he's always been a guy, I think, really had no core beliefs. Didn't really believe anything other than making money. And you're fired. That was pretty much his philosophy. Now that he's moved beyond that realm where he can't just say you're fired, he understands there's a battle going on. I think we've seen some good things going on. You know, they said the Comey appearance today in the committee, they're opening the bars up early. They think it's going to be so much. Crazy, 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 crazy stuff. Hey, want to dig in here? Got some good stuff for you today. We've been on the separation of church and state thing, and I want to really try to zero down on that today. But before I do that, Ann sent me a real quick clip of David Wilkerson, which I'd seen, but I just think it's good because, guys, listen, this is, if there's a theme, this is kind of the theme of our show, okay? This really is kind of the theme. Welcome there, Billy. I think it's Billy. Let me get my glasses on there. Yeah, welcome, Billy. Good to have you in here. Don, George, Jennifer's new. Joe's new, I think. Good to have you guys in here. Jared, pull that first thing up there of David Wilkerson. About 5 minutes, and it's called Run for Your Life. Run for Your Life. And I believe some of you have already run for your lives, but this is the theme. I believe the theme of Pass It All. Go ahead and play that, Jared, real quickly. It's only about 4 minutes. This is the late David Wilkerson.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me, ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life.
Jared, I don't have any sound. Thank you.
My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict. Amen. And saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean. Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God. Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!
Run! Run! That's a cry of my heart. Run! Run to the truth! Run to the truth! Boy, oh boy, we're being manipulated. I want to do this a little bit before we get into the separation of church and state stuff. Jared, go to the next thing. Pull that up there. We had an ordained, we have a tranny, whatever that means. Hey, folks, we got room for you. Jump in here. We got 16 people heading towards 30 today. Jump in here. Look at this up on your screen. Run! Run! United Methodist Church turned to blasphemy, forsake the Bible, and ordains a first non-binary trans deacon. Now, somebody help me, first of all, because I'm not caught up on all the language. What the heck is a non-binary trans? Can anybody help me out with that? What is that? Because the United Methodist Church says we ought to ordain those. What? Somebody help me. What is that? Sarah, you know?
Well, it means that they think they're neither one nor the other. They're neither male nor female.
So I know some men like that.
So they're gender neutral.
Non-binary trans. Deacon.
But the United Methodist Church. This person started out as either a male to a female or a female to a male, then declared their non-binaryism.
Oh, really? So yes. They, in other words, they were born with some set of sex organs. They weren't born with none?
Correct.
And they were born with some form of DNA declaring them a male or a female. By the way, Sarge, I want to pat you on the back. I got several emails from people who said, my goodness, what Kevin said blew my mind yesterday when you're talking about the DNA and how they're trying to get in there and pollute the DNA. It really opened the eyes to some people, Kevin. That's why I love this format, because there are those of you who are sitting out there that have answers to questions that we're not asking and we don't know the solutions to. And boom, Kevin throws this out there. So listen, it's all about this whole thing. It's all the food we're eating, everything that's going on. It's about changing the DNA. Vaccinations, changing the DNA, right? All that stuff about changing the DNA. Sleeping around. Did you know that studies are now showing that a woman carries the DNA of every man she's ever slept with? Did you know that? Well, something crazy, isn't it? Didn't we read that yesterday in the scriptures? Somewhere we read that in the scriptures that what? He hid it in their innermost parts, and then he wrote it on their heart. Ooh, Kevin, you pulled a home run on that one, brother. Our innermost parts, as opposed to written on our heart. Pretty profound. Let's go down here. Let's stay here a second. The United Methodist Church, run, has reached a new low by ordaining a transgender individual who does not identify as a male or a female. Can somebody explain to me what the hell that would be? Confusion is of the devil, for God is not the author of confusion. So how can a Christian congregation not understand that? The Northern Illinois Conference Commission, M. Barclay, who personally identifies as a non-binary transgender. However, what the Methodist Church forgot to realize is that to be a Christian is to deny oneself. So, therefore, all of us are that, I guess. I could go on and down through this. This guy was born I want you to read a quote. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I don't want to get bogged down on it. Run! That's the theme. Run. Going down there a little bit, Jared. Because I want to read. Want you to hear, see what he says. Keep on going. There you go. Okay, here's what he said. This it. Back up a little bit. There. Here's what this it said. For so long, I've longed to be a pastoral presence in the world. This guy doesn't even know if he's a male or a female. Wants to give pastoral advice. All right. And the church says, sure, go. Yeah, good. And certainly you can do that without a collar, but we have ordained for a reason. And part of that is that I can publicly identify as a pastor now, say to Barclay. I know it's not particularly common in the United Methodist Church, but I intend to wear a collar every single day because of a person like me, because for a person like me to navigate society in a collar provides some profound and urgently needed pastoral opportunities, particularly for queer and trans people. The policy was developed in response to similar policies being adopted by the boards of ordained ministry in the Baltimore, Washington, New York, and Pacific Northwest annual conference, he explains. We support their efforts on this issue and the efforts of those who are seeking to be ordained in the Northern Illinois Conference. So in other words, to be ordained in the Methodist Church, you don't really have to do much, I guess. And see, he wants to put on a costume. He wants to put on a collar. Because when he puts on that collar, he's in costume, like a masquerade party, and he gets to act like something he's not. That's going on all across America.
Hey, Run. Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
I'm prompted to bring this up again. I've brought it up in the huddle once or twice before over the last year. But the United Methodist Church is just one of currently 11 denominations that have come together in agreement about certain doctrines and principles and everything like that. And one of the things that these 11 denominations agree with is that there are other saviors other than Jesus Christ. Now, not even touching the social issues like the acceptance of homosexual pastors and all that. You know, all these churches have accepted that long ago. Now we got the ones evidently ordaining what pastors. But anyway, the thing is I'm going to read these 11 denominations one more time, because see, some of the folks sitting out there listening are connected to these denominations. Now, the leadership of these denominations has publicly and officially aligned themselves with each other and these common beliefs. And like I said, one of those common beliefs that this leadership has officially aligned themselves with is that there are other saviors other than Jesus Christ. Now, anybody sitting and listening to this past the salt that thinks that that's true, well, then what the hell are you listening for? But here's those 11 denominations.
Lay them on us, Larry. Lay them on us, brother.
The African American Methodist Episcopal Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, the Christian Church, in other words, Disciples of Christ, the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, the Episcopal Church, whole thing, whole ball of wax, the International Council of Community Churches, all those community churches around the country, the Moravian Church, Northern Province, the Presbyterian Church of USA brand. There's three different brands of Presbyterians. The USA brand. The United Church of Christ. That's the one that Obama was associated with. The United Methodist Church and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're not a total
Run!
Leader, but they're a partner in mission and dialogue.
Run! But Larry, you know what's I thank you for that information, Larry. You know what's equally disheartening? How many other evangelical churches are teaching a false doctrine, see? Prosperity, all that stuff. And as David Wilkerson said in that thing, run from any place that, first of all, glorifies man, right? Glorifies man. That's biblical inerrancy. Run from it. Folks, you can't, how do you sit in the midst of that kind of stuff? How you do that? See, we have people right now who say, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be in the Methodist church then if they believe that homosexuals can be ordained. I'm not going to go there. No, but you go someplace else where they blab it and grab it and name it and claim it and focus everything on money. You don't have any trouble going there. Folks, deception, man. The devil comes as an angel of light. He's very, very deceptive. We got to be careful. And you say, well, Coach, you're sounding judgmental. I'm just examining some fruit. Somebody wants to jump in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, hey, George.
Coach.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Coach, in my mind, it's better for this at Larry name because they're obvious. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? But it's the ones like the Joel Osteens, and I can name a whole bunch more.
Yes, me too. The seeker-sensitive ones, George.
That don't come right out and deny the deity of Christ, but really they are. Those, in my opinion, are the ones that people should be the most aware of.
George, can I say this? By the way, great point. Let me say this without making any more enemies than I already have. If they're drawing a crowd, you better run. I'll say it again. If they're drawing a big crowd, something's wrong. Because we know that Jesus said that he was the rock of offense. Right? He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, he said, right? He came to bring division. So if you're part of a church, a booming 12,000-member church, whoo, you better check something seriously wrong there, boys and girls. Maybe they're not as openly lost as we see our Methodist leadership is, but they're just as lost. Just as lost. So I want to, Jared, let's go and click the other thing up before I shift gears here. I wrote at newswithviews.com today. I'm not going to read it to you. But it's amazing how, boy, I just find myself, I don't want this to sound arrogant. I find the Lord saying something to me and I'm writing about it. Next thing you know, bang, there it is. It's right for everybody to see. Today at News with Views, I wrote, the spiritually blind elect spiritually blind leaders. Now, that wasn't the original title. They edited it at newswithviews.com, and I'm not going to go down and read it. But it's exactly, well, let me read a little bit of it. I don't know what you think, but I continue to be amazed at the people who make it into leadership roles in America. Is it any wonder we're in such a mess? All you have to do is turn on your TV and you'll see what I mean. The tempo of our nation is no longer being set by leaders, but rather by biased entertainers. Our children are taught to seek out celebrity. A recognizable face carries more influence than an unknown person of character. Let's face it, we've become a nation of followers, and as Jesus warned us, that's not going to end up well. We're going to end up in a ditch, right? But see, it's not just that we end up shipwrecked, but it's the result of following leaders who can't see beyond the bow of the boat. Sight and vision are not the same thing, and neither are knowledge and wisdom. Sight is the outworking of the functioning of the eye. You can see something. It's what happens when the eye perceives light and processes it in an image. But vision is more important than sight. Vision is the process by which the brain is able to simulate what the natural eye sees and then convert it into an anticipation or prediction of what might occur as a result of what one sees. That's vision. Knowledge and wisdom are the twin sisters of sight and vision. Knowledge is nothing more than the accumulation of information gathered through one's senses through independent study. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. Even the most unlearned of men can look at that thing and know it's not functioning properly. Fixing a machine that's not working properly requires the application of knowledge. Vision is figuring out how to prevent the instrument from malfunctioning again rather than just fixing it until it breaks again. Because the teaching of our public schools, our mainstream churches have become so shallow, the average American has the ability to see, but possesses very little ability to process the information, even with a hint of wisdom. I'm not going to go down and read the whole thing. You get the flavor for it, right? Our leadership, we are so lacking in leadership in America. I'm not talking just about political leadership. But do you tell me that the people who are leading us politically have vision? Or if they do have vision, do you think it's the same vision we have? Do you think they could publicly stand up and tell you honestly what their vision was? I don't think they could. And as I've said over and over and over, do you think your pastor of your church has vision? Does he have vision not for his kingdom and not for the church, his church? Does he have vision for Christianity and American Christianity and where's the people we need to go? Well, we know that where there is no vision, the people perish. And the word perish doesn't mean die. It means just to run around without any direction. Where there's no vision, if you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you got there? How do you know? Jared, let's go to Jude real quickly. So that's available. That's on our website. That's posted at newswithviews.com. Not one of my, sometimes I write really, really sharp, piercing ones. This is just was kind of a factual one. And I'm going to show you just again the reality of the truth of the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Jude. And then I'm going to get back to the separation here. I promise I am. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, who is also brother of Jesus, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write of you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares who will soon be adorning, ordaining homosexuals and transgenders and binaries. They're crept in, and that's what they're going to do, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, not Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way it's going to be, boys. That they're going to sneak in. They're filthy dreamers, verse 8 says. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise the dominion, speak of ignoble dignities. Wow, 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 wow. That's where we are, guys. It's right before us. And again, some people would say, well, it's the end times. I said, well, maybe the end times, but this is just the natural condition of unregenerated men. And we have unregenerated men standing in our pulpits. And unregenerated men standing in our pulpits will not take hard and fast political positions because it will drive away people. And they're already compromised and compromisers to the point that they'll do just about anything to continue to fill up the church because they're serving their kingdom, not the Lord's kingdom. Anybody want to say anything before I shift gears? I think I got in everything this morning that I wanted to get in. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, verse 5, right in the middle of those verses that you read. And dude, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them. The same people he saved, he destroyed them that believed not.
Put that back up there, Jared, verse 5. I think, didn't you say Larry's verse 5?
Yeah.
Because I read over that pretty fast. Yeah, but you remember, so you...
And I'm going to step on some toes, but once saved, always saved is a teaching that will send you to hell.
Looks to me like it does, brother. That once they knew this, yep. And then I just got to throw this in before we move on. Good to see you there, Mark. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. There's those angels again. There's those giants popping right back in on us. Unbelievable. It's everywhere we look. Everywhere we look. So we're battling, guys. We're fighting. We're battling. And that's really what we're dealing with. One other thing I got to show you. Because we are so programmed. So programmed. I promise you tomorrow I'm finishing up Separation Church and State. Tomorrow I am, okay? I may get to some of it today, but I got another one I just got to show you. White privilege. What is white privilege? What's the idea that white guys should be punished because they're just lucky to be born white? Because they were born white, everything's easier for them. And people are saying that. Ain't never been white, I would say. All the advantages now seem to be going through to minorities. Through affirmative action, minorities seem to be the ones getting all the breaks, not white privilege. And maybe my grandfather had some white privilege, although I doubt it. And I know my dad didn't have any white privilege. I know that he worked sold his soul to the company store, that his children have a better life. Wasn't no white privilege there. But I want you to watch how they brainwashed. A guy named Ami Lipkin went to the streets, and he goes to this convention. Well, you're going to see what it is, a white privilege convention, if you can believe that. And he goes and asks all these people, what is white privilege? And, are you benefited from it? And don't miss it, because at the end, he goes and he visits the black community, and he asks them about white privilege. About 4 minutes. Let's go ahead and watch this real quick. Hey, guys, listen, here's the point. We're being brainwashed. We're being brainwashed, okay? You're being brainwashed. Stop a minute. I got to say this. Talking about me now. Turn off your TV. Turn off the news. Because I heard Limbaugh say this the other day. He doesn't watch the news anymore. I'm sure he does, but he says he doesn't. And he said, things began to clarify for me a little bit when I quit watching the news. When I quit sitting in front of that camera, or the TV, and hearing what Bill O'Reilly had to say and what Megyn Kelly had to say and be programmed, and CNN programs. Man, it's nothing but confusion. We know that Satan is the author of confusion. I'm going to tell you, I don't watch any of that stuff ever. And I see things a lot more clearly than I used to. I used to sit in front of the TV and I'd watch O'Reilly at 8 and 9 o'clock. It was Megyn Kelly and 10 o'clock was Sean Hannity. I'd sit there and gobble up all that stuff. And at the end of the night, I'd go to bed, be more confused than when I laid my head down. And watch this. White privilege, Ami Lipkin. Go ahead, Jared.
We need to recognize our privilege and practice humility.
The concept of white privilege has become an important bulwark of the Democratic Party's ideology and was discussed in nearly every Democratic debate. I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm in Kansas City at a white privilege conference. What is white privilege, you may ask? I don't know. Let's find out. This white privilege conference had over 1,000 attendees, many of them educators. Do you think that it's fair to say all white people in this country have white privilege?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Do all white people have white privilege?
Yes.
I feel myself having it every day.
The country is founded on white supremacy, and that like persists today.
Hyper aware, feel super guilty all the time.
But that white people in this country generally are prejudiced?
I'd go further and say we're all racist.
Is it fair to say that all white people are racist throughout the country?
Yes, absolutely.
Not just the South.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's okay to be like, oh, all white people do this, or white people are X, and especially in a negative light.
Is it wrong to judge people collectively?
Yes.
Is it wrong to judge people collectively?
It's wrong to judge everyone collectively, you know.
Duh.
Yeah, absolutely. No one's a monolith.
That's wrong to judge people collectively, right?
To judge people? Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously. Tell me about some of the white privileges that you have encountered over the past, let's say today.
You're talking about me as a white man today?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't know if I could give you examples.
Not really today, but maybe. Sorry, I'm not good at thinking.
Like today, what white privilege have you come across?
I sat in my room until 12:30 this morning.
So what are some of the white privilege things you came across, let's say today?
Today?
Yeah.
I mean, just being in the world.
Is it fair to say that on a daily basis, black people around this country face obstacles because of white privilege?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
White supremacy as an institution punishes black folk in a way.
Daily.
Daily. Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day.
How black people are consumed with this day to day, and they deal this issue day to day.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, I think that's just so obvious that if you're not admitting that, you're blinding yourself to reality.
Are you a professor?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense now.
You know, in fact, when we go to the airport, I walk with her. My wife's black, so I'll have my hand on her so that people see that I'm with her. I extend my white privilege over to her.
Now I'm here in Harlem in front of the Jackie Robinson Housing Projects to ask residents what they think of white privilege. Do you know what the concept of white privilege is?
The concept of white privilege.
Yeah. You ever hear that?
I've heard of it, but I don't think about it.
When you wake up in the morning, do you immediately think about and are consumed with the idea of white privilege?
No.
You don't think about that all day long, every day? No?
No. No, I'm not consumed with it at all.
I teach students I'm not consuming anything except for runny noses and pencils.
My mom didn't raise me to view color as the object of anything.
Do you wake up every day thinking I am not going to succeed today because of white privilege?
No, obviously not. You see, I'm my own businessman.
Would you even think it's damaging to tell your kids and teach your kids, if you're a black kid, that you're not going to succeed in life because you have
of course. White privilege? Of course. It makes them think, okay, well, I'm going to be nothing. If I want to be a doctor, I can't even do that anymore. It gives them no hope.
Color ain't stopped nothing. I mean, it's a myth.
It's America. You're willing to put forth an effort, you'll do what you gotta do.
I got kids in here, man, that's lawyers, doctors. They grew up out of this building.
I know it sounds cliche, but I can accomplish anything.
If you let something stop you, then that's you. Me, I ain't let nothing stop me.
My daughter is graduating at the top of her class.
I'll say to them, how many black people do you know?
Do you think that sometimes white people just kind of shut up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That white people should definitely shut up.
We white Americans need to do a better job of listening when African Americans talk.
Man, folks, do you guys understand the inherent racism in the idea of white privilege? Do you understand that anybody who talks about white privilege is saying that the black people are unable to make it on their own? It's an insult. It's an insult. And what was it that George Bush called the soft bigotry of low expectations? We are being programmed with this every stinking day. That's why I said turn off your TV. It is subtle, but it is there. It is there. It is there, man. It is there. I watched a little bit of the NBA game last night, and not much because it was on so daggone late. Am I the only guy who notices how many black guys are running up and down that floor? Now, I don't care. But I think in the NBA, there's a such thing as black privilege. Somebody help me out here, right? But they say, well, no, they're just better athletes, whatever they use. Really? So to say a black guy is a better athlete is not racist. But to say a white guy is a better doctor is racist? What? Somebody help me out here. See, that's the programming that we deal with every day. Somebody trying to jump in. George, go ahead.
You know, Coach, the truth of the matter is, and Ben Carson said this during this last election, he said every race has benefited from the inventions of the white man. That's just a fact. So no wonder we're being attacked. Doesn't mean every other race is lesser than us, but the fact is, you know what? He little traction that's gotten in the media.
Amen, George. Amen. So, folks, kind of stuff we're fighting against. Okay, trying to wake you up every day, doing the best we can to try to alert you. Hey, Jared, I'm going to put some real pressure on you, buddy. I sent you an email the other day. One of the links on it were the 10 goals of the Communist Party or something, top 10 planks. See if you can find that. Pull that up there, because I'm going to show you something here today regarding the separation between the church and state. I'm going to curl your toes. And I don't hear anybody talking about this, me. Of course, they probably are. They probably have small platforms like I have, so I don't get a chance to hear them. But we got to understand what's going on around us, okay? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. You know me, I always bring it back to the same thing. Everything we're seeing has a spiritual component. The devil is trying to destroy the seed of the woman, the seed of Jesus, Christians. The enemy is trying to destroy Christians. And as I said many times, if you're not a Christian, you're on the other team. Now that sounds intolerant. I don't care. If you're going to believe the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if I'm in a religious, some type of theological debate with somebody, I don't have a problem telling a Muslim that according to my faith, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. That's what my faith teaches me. I'm not going to say, well, I'm tolerant, diverse, and there's many paths, and well, you have your way of going there, and I have my way of going there. I can say that, but that's denying the truth. The truth is, as a Christian man, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets there except through Jesus. Not a Jew, not a Muslim, not a Buddhist, not a Hindu, not an atheist, not an unregenerated Presbyterian, not an unregenerated Methodist. Nobody gets to heaven unless you go through Jesus. Now, you can say, Coach, that's intolerant. Well, I don't care. That's what Christianity teaches. Anybody want to argue with that? Why are we so afraid to stand up and defend it? Are the Muslims afraid to stand up and defend what they believe? Are they afraid to go out on the streets and declare exactly what they're going to do? They're going to kill you for Allah? Are they afraid to do that? No, they're very, very bold. Scripture says that the righteous should be as bold as lions, and that evil men flee when nobody pursues. Jared probably found it. He's always Johnny on the spot. Okay, look. Okay, now look. I'm going to try to connect something for you here. There's been a coup that's taken place in America. So, there's a soft coup going on now. No, folks. The coup's already occurred. What's going on now is Christian America is trying to fight back. But we're not doing a very good job of fighting back because we don't really get it. Okay? We don't really get it. Now, this is the top 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. Okay, we're going to go down through this. And you tell me how many of these planks are already in place and how many of them have been put in place by the courts. All right? Now, there's such a thing called stare decisis, which is the basis of our legal system, meaning stare decisis, previously decided cases, opinions from previous cases. That becomes the law of the land, and that becomes the basis through which jurisprudence has worked, that a judge looks at what previous case law says, and then he rules on this case based on previous case law says, and by doing so, in fact, rewrites the Constitution of America. That's what's happened, okay? Now, this was the goal. This was the goal of the Communist Party. Here, I just want to do these real quick. Top 10 goals. Abolition of private property and land and application of all rents of land to public purpose. Federal government runs everything, communism. Two, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. We already see that. Three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. A Have you ever heard of inheritance tax? Have you ever heard of parental rights? No. They're trying to take, you don't even have the right to your kids anymore. Kids belong to the government. 4, confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. Who's a rebel? Yep, you is looking at one. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly on money. There you be. 6, centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. State-controlled media. Fake news, we're there. 7, extension of factories and instruments of government owned by the state. Bringing into cultivation wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Common core, common plan, communism, going green, global warming, all of this is, have you noticed how much money the government has spent on alternative fuel? That's government control. As my friend Bob Murray of Murray Industries says it's a takeover of the power grid. 8, equal application of all to work, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. We're heading towards that. 9, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population of the country. Trying to put all of us into cities, by the way. And 10, how about this? A free education for all children in government schools. Yep, free education. Is education free? Hey, is education free? What's not? What does that mean, a free education? I pay for education here where I live, so somebody else can go free. Right? It's not. There's no such thing as a free education, but purpose of it, free education for all children in government schools. Notice they call them government schools. Abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, a combination of education with industrial production. Worker bees, that's what they want to do. Okay, there we are. Many of those planks already in place. Now, how have they done it? They've done it through the courts. I'm going to finish this teaching up tomorrow, but what I'm about to show you now, to me, is pretty staggering. Jared, let's pull up on the screen. Anybody have anything to say? Comments from anybody? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to run through everybody there. Always like to open the forum. No? Jared, pull up that attachment. It says SCOTUS Religions. It's down near the bottom. There you go, folks. Watch this. This is staggering. You know that right now, there's not one evangelical Christian on the U.S. Supreme Court. Not one. Closest thing to it would be this new guy, this Gorsuch. But I believe he's Episcopal, isn't he? Certainly not evangelical Christianity. And Larry, didn't you say the Episcopal Church? Didn't you say they were one of them that serve a different God, Larry? Wasn't that in that list, the Episcopals? I'm sure it was. Larry must be brushing his teeth. Okay, so let's look over here. The religious affiliation of the U.S. Supreme Court. Stay right there, Jared. John Roberts is Catholic. Stephen Breyer is Jewish. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is Jewish. Anthony Kennedy is Catholic. Antonin Scalia, who's now dead, is Catholic. David Souter, Episcopalian. John Paul Stevens, oh, this is an old one. Okay, this is 2005, I'm sorry. Okay, Catholic. Thomas, Catholic. Alito, Catholic. No evangelical Christians on the U.S. Supreme Court. Scroll down, Jared. Okay, stay right there. Religious affiliation of prior to 1975, to 2005. Slide on down. On down, Jared. There we go. Religious affiliation of all U.S. There we go. Look at this. Here's what they've been. The religion of all the justices we've had. Right? I'm not going to read the names, but you can read them with me. Baptist, 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 and all the Catholics, Catholics, Congregationalists, Congregationalists, Disciple of Christ, Disciple of Christ, Episcopal. Look at all the Episcopals going down through there. Of course, that goes back to the founding of the nation, I'm sure. And then look, Jewish. How many? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Stop there a second, Jared. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Jewish. And by the way, 3 of them are there now. In the history of the United States, there's only been 7, and 3 of them are on the right now. Methodist, Lutheran, Methodist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Presbyterian, not a member of any church, Presbyterian, Presbyterian, Presbyterian. Point being what? If we were to study this out, we would find out that it wasn't up until about 1961, I think it was, maybe 58, that we really began to get what we considered the removal of Protestants from the U.S. Supreme Court. And as we began to get the removal of Protestants from the U.S. Supreme Court, what happened? Well, the decisions began to go more and more left. Remember, a nation founded on biblical principles can only be governed by those who understand and promote and support biblical principles. So we appoint, don't miss this, we don't elect, we appoint to the highest judicial offices in the land people who do not share Christian biblical beliefs, and then allow them to rule on religious affairs. That'd be like putting me on the Supreme Court in Michigan and letting me rule on things involving Ohio State Buckeyes. Kind of a stacked deck, if you know what I'm talking about. So this whole idea of communism and the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto is, in fact, already, the coup has already taken place in the United States of America, and non-religious judges are now ruling the day. Now, I'm going to make some people mad here. Oh, Lord. Jews are not, folks, without Christ, Jews are not going to go to heaven. I'm sorry, they're not going to. Unsaved Episcopalians are not going to go to heaven. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Sorry. Unsaved Catholic, no matter how moral they are, no matter how right they are, or how conservative they are on the issues, an unsaved Catholic is not going to go to heaven. That's the way I read the scriptures. I was raised Catholic. I ain't got nothing against Catholics. But there's only one mediator between the Lord, man, and Christ Jesus. That's it. God and man, it's Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. Sorry. And so what we have is, in some cases, four Catholics on the Supreme Court, moral men. They might be moral men. Ooh, I know I'm treading some dangerous territory. But they're not born again in the Spirit of God, the way I see it. Without the Holy Spirit to guide you, well, then you come up with the philosophies and the traditions of men. And you come up with stare decisis. Previously decided cases become the law of the land. And that's what's happened to us. And for the most part, it's happened in our lifetime. My lifetime. I'm 64 years old. Look at this. All that stuff that's up there. Episcopal, Church of England, Presbyterians. It was unthinkable. It was unthinkable 100 years ago to have a non-Christian on the U.S. Supreme Court. And now we got three. Four, maybe. Nah, unbelievable. Comment. Somebody bail me out now that I made all my Catholic friends mad. I'm not trying to make my Catholic friends mad. I'm trying to get my Catholic friends saved. I'm trying to get them saved. I'm mad at them. I love them. Yeah.
You know, we're getting close to the end here, but something just drew my attention toward the end of the book of Jude. Thank you for taking us to Jude today. There's a verse there, number 21, and guess what it says, folks? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. I guess that means there's an out of the love.
Oh, man. Hey, Larry, listen, man. Folks, listen. Religion will not save you. Religion will not save you. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on Catholics. But I found Jesus outside the church. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Being a Methodist will not save you. Being a Baptist will not save you. Being a Lutheran will not save you. Being a Charismatic will not save you. Being a Presbyterian will not save you. Being a Jew will not save you. The only thing that will save you is have you repented of your sins, fallen on your face, acknowledge Jesus as God, the God of the universe, ask him to forgive you of his sins, and let his blood be a propitiation for your sins, and then walked away from your sins and been born again. If you have not done that, First John 3, go there, Jared, tells us that the wrath of God abides on you. There is no room in heaven where the Methodists are and where the Baptists are and where the Lutherans are and where the Catholics are. It isn't like that. Paul said there's no division. None. There are no divisions. There's no Jew. There's no Greek. Why do we continue to identify ourselves as Jews or Greeks? Why do we identify ourselves as Catholics or Baptists, Methodists or Lutherans or Presbyterians or Church of God or Church of God in Christ or non-denominational? Why do we continue to do that? Because of the programming. Because of the programming. Where did I tell us to go? Because you're right there, aren't you? First John. Hey, no, I sorry, Jared. John 3. John 3. John 3. Jesus said in that day, many would come and say, Lord, in your name, didn't we go to the Catholic Church? And didn't we go to the Baptist Church? And didn't we go to the Lutheran Church? And didn't we go to the Methodist Church? And were we faithful tithers at our Life Church? And were we faithful tithers at God in Christ and Christ in God Church in down on Broad Street? Didn't we do all that stuff? And he said, get out of here, dude. Never knew you. Never knew who you were. I never had a personal relationship with you. And some of you watching right now think I'm crazy because you don't have the Holy Spirit and the personal testimony in your own heart of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you hate me so much. Call me bigoted and judgmental. I'm just telling you the truth, what the Bible teaches. Believe it or don't. But look, Jared, go to the very last verse. John 3. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Okay, stay right there. Verse 32. And what hath he seen and heard that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony? And he that hath received his testimony, talk about Jesus, has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and gives all things into his hand. Watch this. And he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. But says, doesn't it?
Hey, coach.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, you either have the Son or you don't have the Son. It doesn't matter whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran, Presbyterian or Catholic. It don't matter. You either got him or you don't. Yeah, George.
Coach, hey, thank you for having the guts to say that so clearly, because I think what most of these churches are teaching is say these four spiritual things, get dipped, get baptized, and you're saved. And you made it crystal clear. You did a great job of explaining what salvation is. Thank you.
Thank you, George. That's what it is, because that's what happened to me. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. It happened to me. And if you think, listen, if your Christian life, if your religious life is nothing more than following ceremonial things at your church, if that is it, getting ashes put on your forehead. And...
Hey, Coach.
Thanks, Sarge. Yeah, save me from saying something I shouldn't say.
Continuing on with our thoughts about the DNA, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Guess what? Christ in you is the reintroduction of new DNA to protect you.
Sarge, this is so daggone deep. It's so deep. Well, listen, I kind of wobbled on both sides of the road today, didn't I? I'm just telling you what's in my heart. Just telling you what's in my heart. I'm hearing people saying all the time, Coach, come home. Come back home, Coach, meaning come back to the church that I came at. Come on back home. I said, why would I go home? I found Jesus outside. I'm going to go out there where he is. You can go ahead and sit in there if you want to. You follow that tradition. He warned us about making his commandments a doctrine as a man, making the word of God a known fact. You want to go ahead and live like that? You go ahead, but don't invite me back in, because I ain't coming back. I ain't coming back. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't miss tomorrow. We're going to finish up this separation of church and state thing. And if I made you mad today, I'm not sorry. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.